Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in store or online at Rite Aid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakinPoints for details.
Log Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hi, and welcome to Brain Healthy. I am your host, Jessica Aaronworth, and I'm so excited to have Yola Mameti in the studio with me today. Yola is a theta healer and master organizer, and we're going to be talking about how your physical, mental, and energetic clutter is preventing you from living the life you long for. Through her signature process that combines a lifetime of practice of decluttering and 13 plus years as a certified theta healing practitioner, she uses the principles of Con Marie method and helps her clients to increase clarity and achieve personal and professional growth and freedom. Yola, I'm so excited to have you here, because for those people who have actually been in my house, it could be much worse, but decluttering is something that I struggle with. There's so many papers. I don't know what to do with all these papers. But just, you know, one day they're not there, and the next day there's millions surrounding me.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you?
It is so good to be here. It's so good to be with you. And I just have to say that song at the beginning, I don't know if the listeners get to listen to Katy Perry.
I
needed that. I needed that to get me to calm me down and get me relaxed. So that was awesome.
Hey, you're just talking to me, so we can be relaxed and have fun with it, which is my way of doing almost everything. You know, if I'm going to work, I'm going to have fun while doing it.
That's
how I work with my clients. And that's how I work with this show, and that's really how I work my life. So
I love that. I recently, in the last 8 months, have been introduced to this idea, and my friend Jamie Wilson, who is an expert in overwhelm, her whole motto is that if it's not easy, I'm not going to do it. And so easy doesn't mean that it has to be simple in the sense that you're not challenged. But like, easy means fun and fluid and intuitive, and you know, and so for me, I've really taken that to heart, and I love that that's what you stand for as well. That you know, you have to have fun and make it easy, and especially when it comes to work, right? Like, work doesn't have to look a certain way, and then your other life, it's not separate. Life and work, you have to be one person in all of them. So
exactly.
I love that.
What I find is the more fun you have, the easier it gets, and the more in the flow you are. You know, you want to be going downstream with everything and not fighting your way upstream.
Absolutely.
And what I've really noticed this year is the more I let go of things, the more I allow myself to be in the flow, stop worrying, stop all my anxious thoughts, and allow myself to be, the easier things get. And the better things get, and the more exciting things get.
Yeah. It's that universal law of attraction, right? Like attracts like. You can't have ease if you're trying really hard, you know? It's like, it doesn't make sense. But we are humans, and we like to be in control, and we think we are in control. So that's where we need help.
So you are a theta healer,
mm-hmm.
and master organizer, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I love that title.
Tell me a bit about how you got started. Tell me a bit about your own journey.
Thank you. Yeah. So I was about 3 years old when I was living at the time. So let me go back a little bit. I was born in Albania. It's a country right across from Italy and north of Greece. And it's a beautiful little country. It's smaller than New York State, actually. But it has mountains and seas, and it's gorgeous. And I was lucky, I guess. I believe we choose our lives. So I guess I chose to be born in Albania in this life, and it was a great choice. My mom is a doctor, and my dad, and both my parents worked full-time jobs. So I spent a lot of my time with my grandmother. And she was a teacher and retired right when I was born. So when I was 3 years old, at 3 years old is when I was getting the sense of like, of who I was and, you know, my community around me and whatnot. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother and her friends, so they'd come visit. And they would have their coffee and their conversations, and then they would leave. And immediately I would start straightening up the wrinkles on the sofa and fluffing pillows. It was one of those things that I had to do it, and I got joy from doing it. And then I start helping with cleaning the house. So organizing and cleaning and making sure my environment was sort of felt settled in and felt spacey and organized, that was so important to me. And I continued doing it I left Albania when I was 15 years old to come here as an exchange student. And it continued here. It was something that was always a part of me. I just never knew that I could turn it into a business or that people even didn't know how to do things like this. I just thought everybody knew how to do it and everybody craved that. And I just remember when I was very young, when I started school, that I honestly could not even focus on doing homework. If my environment, the room where I was in, did not feel organized and wasn't organized. I could not do homework. I could not play. I could not enjoy anything. And so looking back now, I can see that it wasn't so much about the physical stuff. What was happening is that energetically, I was also a very sensitive child and I was picking up on energy. And so in 2004, I don't know, to be honest with you, how old I was, but in 2004, I moved to New York City when I was 16, and in 1999, and in 2004 is when I came across my first Theta healing teacher, and I had a session with him, and it changed my life. And I realized right there and then that I've always been intuitive and sensitive, and that it was not a bad thing to be sensitive, because to me, it felt like, oh, I was too sensitive and I was too timid. But, you know, that's when my Theta healing journey started in 2004. But looking back, I can see that really my intuitive journey and this passion I have for organizing and arranging energy, whether it's physical or energetic, really has always been a part of me and part of my purpose. And I tell people that I have 30 plus years of experience as an organizer, as a master organizer, because it really started when I was 3 years old. And it wasn't just doing taking care of my dolls. It was actually taking care of a big house at 3 years old, because I felt like that brought me joy. So that's how it all started.
That's really cool. See, I'm the opposite of you. And as much as I like things being neat and organized, I have not found my ability to keep things neat and organized.
Right.
So,
yeah. And you know what? For some people, I know, for example, for some of my artist friends, having everything, having a place for everything, that kind of like works against their way of operating in the world. You know, they're artists, and they kind of want that quote unquote messiness, because that inspires them. That gives them that space that they need to breathe as artists. Whereas I know a lot of people that actually I would call it an organized mess, right? As long as it's an organized mess, right? So there's a difference between clutter and it being like an organized mess kind of a situation. So yeah, it depends on the person. And I would say that perhaps, you know, everything that happens to us, I believe that it's serving us in one way or another. So I would say, how is it serving you to not be neat and organized, you know, because it's serving you and it's there to protect you, to serve you and to help you grow, right? It's not a bad thing necessarily.
Exactly. I know for me, when I do clean up, I lose everything. And if it's not out there, I'm not going to do it because I just forget about it.
Yeah.
So it is,
yeah.
For me, it is a strategy. Although my kids are quickly learning from me, and I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, but children really do learn by example, right? Because as much as I can say I was, you know, like, I have my purpose. I honestly believe in that every cell of my being, this is my purpose, because it has been part of me in every job I have done. Whether I worked at, my very first job was working at Ray's Pizza in New York City. So whether it was organizing behind the cash register counter, or whether it was working, I work at a place where I work at a bridal shop and organize, you know, wedding dresses. Like, it has always been a part of me. But to be honest with you, it's living with my grandmother and seeing how waking up in the morning and cleaning the house and setting up that environment for her friends to come over and for life to begin that day, I learned from that. I saw that and I wanted to model that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's definitely kids learn by that, by example. So I can see why you're worried about it.
Now, if you have a question for either Yolo or myself, please give us a call at 646-716-7979. Now, the organizing that you do, though, is not what I would consider quote unquote normal organizing, because you take it even further than that. And you call it space healing.
Mm-hmm.
And you also implement theta healing within your space healing. For people who don't know, and I know that I've done a few theta healing sessions with you, and they are amazing. So for those of you who want to try, if you've heard of theta healing or not, it really is an amazing modality. And maybe that's where we'll start. Can you explain what theta healing actually is?
Sure.
For those people who really don't know, because I know for me, it took me a while to really understand what exactly it was.
And I totally understand why, you know, sometimes explaining it doesn't, I don't feel like even if I did the most amazing job at explaining it, I feel like someone would have to experience it to really know how really amazing it is. And I appreciate you saying what you said. But what I can say to put it in a container, is that it is a healing modality. And so it uses the theta brain waves. So there are different brain waves, scientifically research that we operate in at different brain waves. And the theta brain wave is called, it's the powerful brain, the brain wave of creation. So the practitioner, the theta healing practitioner, is trained to go into a theta brain wave, which happens through meditation. And to tap into that energy of all that is, the seventh plane of existence, the energy of all that is. And so when you marry the two, that space of all that is with the theta brainwave, that's where the magic happens. Now, the thing is that happens through the process of visualization. Everybody goes into a theta brainwave. So just because I'm a theta healing practitioner doesn't mean I'm the only one, or other theta healing practitioners are the only people going into a theta brainwave. Everybody does go into a theta brainwave every single night before falling asleep. That is exactly what you slip into, that theta brainwave where your eyes, I don't know, like for those who have children, you can notice children, like as they're falling asleep, their eyes kind of rolling up into the back of their head. that's exactly what's happening. And so, except that the difference is that a theta healing practitioner is trained to do so while maintaining a consciousness and then going into that space, energetic space, where then you ask permission to enter your client space. So what I mean by that is that you plug in energetically through intention to energetically plug into the client space, and through the process of questioning questionnaires and asking certain questions and intuitively hearing and seeing and feeling messages, you go through the process of basically eliminating, going through the process of discovering and eliminating limiting beliefs, programming, and things of that sort. So I would say theta healing is a healing modality to help you release any limiting beliefs and programming and patterns that you have been storing in your subconscious mind. Now, what is really mind-blowing, what has been mind-blowing for me when I first started in this journey, is to realize that on an everyday, day-to-day basis, we are using about 5 to 1% or 1 to 5% of our brain, of our conscious brain. Everything else is the subconscious brain, and that's where everything is stored. And I call the subconscious brain, because I have background in film studies, I call that the showrunner, just like the showrunner running a sitcom or a drama show. That's what the job of your subconscious is. It stores all these memories and patterns and behaviors. And it runs the show. And what that means is that everything that you see in your life that is manifested in your life is a direct result, is 100% a reflection of what is in your subconscious mind. And through different healing modalities, including theta healing, you're able to go and discover what is being stored in your subconscious mind and release it. And so I can say that my passion for theta healing stands in the fact that it is very thorough, and it gets to the root cause of what is being stored in your subconscious, and why is being stored there, and what is the root cause of everything. So I love that it's very thorough, and I love that it gets to the bottom of things, because there are many healing modalities out there, and you benefit from different healing modalities at different times in your life, and you can combine them. But theta healing alone has the power to transform those things that you're holding on to that are limiting you, that are keeping you stuck in where you are right now.
And I think that's fascinating. You know, I know for myself, this year has definitely been a year of release, to say mm-hmm. the least.
Yeah.
And within that, it's also been the most transformative year, I would say, of my life.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, for some reason, energy modalities were just drawn to me. There was no way to bypass them. And it was very interesting, because as, you know, a psychotherapist, as a healer of emotions, really, it was interesting to me that I didn't even know, you know, I was using a totally different set of tools to help my clients, and that there are so many more tools that were not necessarily introduced to in the mainstream, although it's becoming more and more mainstreamy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to be ready to work on an energetic level.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is so rewarding.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So it's this idea that that a client, you know, you can, someone will come and have a session, and they will have a great experience, and it will open. But then if they feel like, okay, I feel like I need, you know, kind of like they need to process everything, right? Because they are not. They're not ready to go any deeper, and I totally get that. And so I, as a practitioner, I have to be aware of that. And there are people, so a session can only go as deep as the client allows me. I am the practitioner. I'm holding space, just like you hold space for your clients, right? I'm holding the space. I am trained. I'm highly trained in this technique, in this modality. But it takes two to tango, as they say, right? So I need the person to be open, ready, and willing in the safe space that I'm creating for them to be able to go deeper. And sometimes, sometimes they can only go so far. However, even with that, they're able to benefit so much, because when what that does is that allows them to, a week later or even a few days later, they'll feel like, oh, they'll start realizing things about their life and themselves. And it's like they're opening up little by little. So the results obviously vary for each person depending on where they are in their journey. But what I love about theta healing is with theta healing, I use the energy testing, or some people call it muscle testing. So what I love about that is that we use muscle testing in theta healing to basically see exactly what has been shifted and what hasn't been shifted. So there is no guessing game. Yes, feeling great and being in touch with your intuition and your feelings and your everything that is going on with you on an emotional level, that's a high indication of what, like, which direction to go, what to work on next, and how everything is working out. But to have that that energy testing, that muscle testing of making sure that, oh, okay, so we released that belief, and now let's go to the next. So to have that physical proof, because we use the client's body to do the muscle testing, that is really awesome, especially for skeptics. And I often say, when people get on the schedule to work with me, they're like, so I wanted to do this, but I wanted to know that I'm a complete skeptic. And I'm like, I love you. I love working with skeptics. I'm like, let's go. Let's do this. And, you know, by the end of the session, they are a changed human being. And they're like, wow, I didn't know. So some people, and I honestly feel that the muscle testing plays a huge role in that, because it's something about our conscious mind, as you probably know even better than me, that our conscious mind has its own role. So yes, the subconscious is a showrunner, and what is in there will manifest in your life, but your consciousness is also very extremely important. And so for them to consciously hear and see that something has shifted, and to have that proof, it's pretty life-changing. And that's what I love about theta healing. And that's what I also mean by being thorough in the process of digging and getting to the bottom beliefs and the bottom stuff. And also thorough in the sense that we use emotions, we use intuition, but also we use physical proof, based on energy, of course, because muscle testing is all about energy. But we use that to also make sure that things have shifted. But that's pretty powerful.
And, you know, within there, you made some really powerful points there. And I think it's really important that people understand that within this type of healing, you know, it is dependent on how deep you are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day you might be ready to go just so far, and the next day you might be ready to go so much further. And I think because of that, and because sometimes it's like a slow drip, right? Sometimes you feel instantaneous results.
Yep.
And then sometimes it's like that slow drip where you feel it gradually over time. And depending on how much awareness you have within yourself and your body, because really in our world, we are not trained to be aware of ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, our consciousness, our subconsciousness.
Absolutely.
And I think there's a subsection of people who walk away, maybe not experiencing that huge, you know, feeling that they think they're going to experience, and don't recognize all the shifts that are taking place.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of self-awareness to recognize those shifts.
Well said. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you. Yeah, and you know what it is that it's that the idea that it starts with the shift in your perspective. You know, and so what happens is by the end of the session, someone will come to me, let's say, and they want to work on stuff with their mother-in-law, let's say, right? It's like, she's driving me crazy, blah, 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 you know? So we go and dig deep and, you know, start cleaning stuff up. And so by the end of the session, they have no idea why they came to me because they no longer...
Right.
You know, any anger or anything towards, so they logically remember it, but they cannot connect to the feeling, right? So it can be, so the shift, I tell people and I tell my clients, the shift happens immediately. It is your job to then take all these new downloads and all these new shifts and all this new paradigm that we literally gave you to then go and put that in action, right? Because
yes.
If you're coming to me and working on your money beliefs and your limiting beliefs about money, let's say I had somebody who literally, I mean, this is a common thing I find with people, but believing that money is the root of all evil, right? That is like a group mm-hmm. consciousness belief that has been passed on from generation to generation. And so we worked on that belief. Now, her job, and we muscle tested that belief and we digged on it. So we made sure we pulled it from the very bottom. Why was even there? Why? Because not everybody has that belief. And so now it's her job to go and to go live her life affirming that money is energy. It's pure energy and that it is amazing. You can do so many things with money. So many opportunities come because of having money, right?
Yeah.
But she constantly have she so she has the work inside of her. She has that foundation. And she can, and so she has that feeling, she knows it. But if she walks around saying money is the root of all evil, then you know what? At one point, she's going to undo everything that we did together. So I do say in all of my marketing materials and everything that I, in all of the conversations I have with people, yes, absolutely, this work is permanent. Absolutely, we shift things permanently. The only way that things get undone, that it's not permanent, is if you go through a huge trauma in your life. So then we have to go and work on that. Or if you are consciously going on purpose, repeating the negative stuff that we just released, right? So it is very much to do with the awareness of the person and how much are they willing to go there,
yeah.
right?
And I think that's why, you know, it's a really nice complement for psychotherapy modalities.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get this shift in the core foundation.
Yep.
But often, even when we have that shift in the core foundation, it takes another shift to continue shifting your mindset, you know, to make sure that's being integrated every single day and that you can really start noticing where those tapes and thoughts are serving you or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, so one way of looking at it is, I think talk therapy, right? Talking about things and it's powerful because I recognize it in my own life. I haven't had theta healing sessions on me for every single aha moment and every single shift I've made in my life. As much as some people like to believe that I sit here and do theta on myself every day, I don't. But just having a conversation with a friend, even if it's not going to, you know what I mean? Just having a conversation with a friend or with your mother or with your child can transform you. You know, watching a YouTube video can transform you. It shifts your perspective. But then there are things that energetically you're holding on the four different levels that we work on in theta healing that you need to go and get to the root cause of it in order to eliminate it completely from your energetic field.
Yes, exactly.
I can give an example. For example, this just happened today. I was working on a client who... is an amazing writer. He does ghostwriting too, and he, you know, his he wanted to work on this idea of him sometimes feeling like he was resisting his work with his clients when he does ghostwriting. And we had a session about 3 weeks before today, working on beliefs about his purpose and his value. And through the muscle testing and through the muscle testing and talking, we discovered that he did not believe that he had value, and he didn't know what his purpose was energetically. Like, we muscle testing for that, and it was no. So I said, okay, great, let's go and work on that stuff. So we worked on it, and then today when we came together to work on him, I said, what's been coming up for you? What's been going on? What has and by the way, in the first session, we worked on this resistance. So that's what he wanted to work on. He didn't come to me and say, hey, I want to work on my value, my purpose, right? The person, the client, doesn't always know that. Some people do, and most people, you know, don't. They tell you what they want to work on, basically what's going on in their life. So for him, it was that he wanted to work on this resistance that he was feeling to accomplishing, to finishing his projects and all that. And so I said, what's going on? How is it going with the resistance, and what's coming up, what's been coming up for you? And he said, well, I said, I've realized lately that the reason why I'm resisting is because I want to do my own writing. I don't want to, I enjoy writing for other people, but I also have something to say. And so that was like, that came to fruition because of all this belief work that we did on his value and his purpose. So all of a sudden, because of all the purpose stuff that we did, now he knows that his purpose is also to write, not just be a ghostwriter. Nothing wrong with being a ghostwriter, but he realized he has something important to say. So that's what happens from session to session, right? It's like you go and uncover one layer and one layer and one layer. And so then in today's session, to make a long story short, we realized that his fear of putting his own work out there was directly connected to an incident in his childhood where he was made fun of for putting himself out there. And so that stuff, right? And it was, and on the surface, the story was that, and I can say this because I'm not saying the name, so I'm protecting his privacy, but the story was that when he was in fifth grade, his parents had bought him a pair of shoes that he actually didn't like, but you know, he had no choice but to wear them. That's all they could afford. And his friends at school, on the first day of school, made fun of him for wearing those kind of shoes and for not fitting in. And so he was petrified. And his biggest fear was that they were pushing him away and he was going to end up alone. And so fast forward to today, his writing, putting his writing into the world, that felt terrifying to him. Because what if they made fun of him? And what if they pushed him away? And what if he ended up alone? And right. it is those kind of connections, right, that happen that, that are very important to go and deal with in order to release everything that, you know, that you want in order to achieve what you want to achieve.
Right. And especially because sometimes we don't have conscious access to those memories.
Yes.
And as much as we want to heal or as much as we want to do the work, sometimes the only way to do it is on the energetic level. And then you see everything shifting.
I know for myself,
I was told over and over again, you have to heal yourself before your really my business would take off. And I am a very aware person. I have people laugh at me because I am so aware.
Yeah.
And throughout this whole thing, I kept on turning, well, how do I think I'm doing that? How do I do that? And I thought I was healing myself on a very deep level. I couldn't understand how else to do it. And then one day life took over and external events happened and I was forced into that energetic path, as I say. I really feel I had no other choice. It was either, one way, which you'll thrive this way or you won't this way. And if you want to keep on going, this is the only way to go. And through the energy work, through that energetic level work that we're talking about today, that really was the only thing that could unblock my system. Because my mind was so strong on a conscious level, I had the awareness, but my mind still couldn't unblock the energetic levels of my body.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you say that. That is so powerful because, that's actually, so what happened today in today's session with him is that I did my usual, going into my theta mode, as I call it, going to theta land, and I asked permission to enter his space energetically. And then I said, okay, so this is what I'm seeing, a picture of you being a young boy and being made fun of. Do you remember that? And he immediately accessed that memory. But he said this was the first time since that happened that he remembered that, and he has talked about it. He's never talked about it ever since it happened. And it blew his mind that this was connected to his writing and to resisting his work. And so, you're right. Sometimes, because it is what we call cellular memory, right? You hold on to that energy. Everything is stored there as children. And as I said to him today, I said, everything that we have been through as children, everything that we have been through is part of our purpose and is what's coming up for us now to work on in order to fulfill our purpose. Like, nothing was an accident, I remember as a child, I was 6 years old when I was I left my grandmother's house to go live with my parents because I was about to enter school, and my dad thought that it was better for me to live with them because up until that point, I had lived with my grandmother and my parents would come every night and visit and all of that every day and spend time with me. But I had such a really hard time leaving my grandmother's home. That was my home for the first 6 years of my life. And going to this whole other new environment that honestly felt very foreign to me. I would literally say, I'm going to visit my parents. And this is not my home. Like, I was very, very keen on like making sure that I had a distinction for that. And then, so fast forward now, every time I go through a transition where I'm visiting a friend or I'm visiting family and I'm leaving my home or I'm leaving the place where I visited, there's a little bit of anxiety there because of that experience. I've worked on it. I healed so much, and because of that healing, there are so many things that happen because of that healing. But I can see how that experience served me and what, and how it played a role in my adult life.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, for those who are parenting or working with kids, I think that is such a significant piece right there. Because we do hold on to everything that we experience in different ways. And, we really want to remember and instill in ourselves and our children kindness. Because you never know when what you say will become someone else's unforgotten memory.
Oh, my gosh. I got chills. Literally, I got chills. I'm getting goosebumps. Can I share something really quickly about that? I was, I live in New York City, and I was at a playground, and I was babysitting my friend's son, and I was there with him, and he was playing with this other little girl who was holding on to two balls in each of her hands. She had two soccer balls, I think they were soccer balls. Like, she was holding on to two balls. And the dad was there, and my friend's son actually wanted to have one of them and wanted to play, and she wouldn't share. And so the dad came, and he was you know, his intention was great. His intention was good. It came from a good place in his heart. He wanted this little boy to experience and to have a ball, and because she didn't really need to hold on to both balls and not share. And he was trying to teach her a lesson in sharing. And so what he says to her is that he says to her, he looks at her and he goes, I'm not sure what her name was. He goes, you do not, you know, you can you share? Can you give the bowl to the little boy? And she goes, no. And he goes, well, he goes, you cannot hold on to both. You just not, you cannot have everything you want. You just can't have everything you want. And that, like, that was like cutting me with a knife through and through, because in that moment, I was like, imagine what that download, imagine what that is going to do for her in her life now. To think
right.
that she cannot have everything she wants. Like, you know, it might
I
seem
know,
like she has...
As you say it, I'm going, eh.
Right. I cringed, and I was like, no, of course she can have everything she wants. Of course
yeah.
she can hold on to two balls. And so I stepped in. With trying to be very mindful, being respectful of his philosophy as a parent, right? And said, I said, he goes, and I said, I looked at him and I said, look at her. She's doing such a great job. Of course she can have everything. Look at her. She's doing such a great job at holding it, both those balls, and she's not dropping them. And she's, look how good she is at it. Look at how good she is at having everything she wants. Hoping that me saying that would undo that automatically in her, you know, and would not, you know, lead her to therapy in 20 years from now. So, you know, but it's as parents, you're right, as parents, it's our responsibility for what, I'm not a parent, but I speak, I have worked with children for a long time, and it is our responsibility as parents and as adults to be mindful of what we are saying to our kids and how we are saying it to them, because it can scar them for life.
Exactly. For
yeah.
those of you who have any questions or want to call in to speak to either Yola or myself, you can reach us at 646-716-7979. So let's just switch quickly. There's so much to say and so much to talk about, and I feel like time is running out.
Yeah.
You know. But I also want to touch on, because as magnificent, you know, theta healing is magnificent, and I love that you coupled that with space healing.
Yeah.
And I think that's really unique, because I don't actually know anyone else who does that. So can you discuss with us a bit about, you know, space healing, how that works, why it's so important, and your process on all of that.
Thank you. Yeah, I as I said before at the beginning of our interview, that I've always been passionate about arranging energy, whether it's physical or non-physical energy, and it started at 3 years old, arranging, like making sure my grandmother's pillows were fluffed and perfectly organized. And so the clutter, your physical space is, first of all, your physical space is an extension of who you are, and it's a reflection of, what's going on inside of you. So if your physical space where you're living and working is cluttered, that energy is literally preventing you from focusing and from feeling grounded and settled in and getting clarity in whatever it is that is going on in your life, and being productive and just being feeling in alignment with everything that you are doing. As I said, I've always felt impacted by my physical environment. Like, I couldn't do homework, I couldn't play unless everything felt organized and felt decluttered or clutter-free. And so the concept of combining the energetic work with the decluttering process came as a result of thinking of the idea that everything that we see, we have in our physical environment, is a reflection of who we are. So some people hold on to things for various reasons. And for example, one reason is that they feel safe. They feel safe seeing, accumulating things in their environment. And so what I do with someone like that is that we go and we start with the theta healing aspect of the space healing process, because we want to go and figure out and get to the root cause of why someone doesn't feel safe if they don't have all the things. Where is this lack of safety coming from? Where is the fear of not being safe coming from? And so then working on that, then very easily transitioning into then the physical aspect of going and decluttering somebody's physical space. They just go hand in hand, because everything that you see around you, whether it's a chair you're sitting on or the microphone you're speaking to, everything is energy. And because it's energy and you are energy, it automatically reflects and impacts how you're feeling, what you're doing in life. And when we let go of all the excess, of all the clutter and all the things that are in our physical space, we allow for this space to literally emerge, this physical space to literally emerge for us to then gain that mental space and that energetic space that we need in order to, you know, live in the fullest, at our fullest potential. And it really just comes down to one thing, that everything is energy. And so if everything is energy, then the physical stuff is going to prevent you from achieving all the other things that you want to achieve, because they're literally keeping you kind of locked into that energy, energetic clutter. I don't know if I'm explaining it well, but that's where it comes from. And that's where my inspiration from combining the two. So there are many organizers out there who do a great job at organizing and setting up systems and all of that. My process starts with decluttering on a deeper level, on an emotional level, of course, and a spiritual level, but also on a physical level, decluttering from the perspective of getting rid of everything, anything and everything that doesn't bring you joy. So what I do is I combine my passion and my experience of it with the world-renowned and very famous in the last couple of years method by Marie Kondo, who is a master organizer, and she wrote this book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And she, just very much just like me, since she was little, she has always been passionate about the environment, the physical environment and things and organizing and putting things together. And she wrote a book 2 years ago that is a New York Times bestseller and translated in many languages around the world. And so when I read this book, it changed my life. And I have to be perfectly honest, when I saw this book, I looked at it and I said, okay, I mean, I am a master organizer. I know how to do this stuff, so I don't know what this book has to teach me, but let me just see. I was very curious what it had to teach me. And I am so glad I did, because it changed my life. And what I realized is that there was one thing, the one key thing that was missing in my own personal process with organizing. It was that one puzzle piece, and that was that you only hold on to things that bring you joy. I never ever thought of looking at organizing that way. So the concept is that you take every single object. I don't care if it's a pen, a pencil, or your mop that you clean your floors. You pick up every single object and you hold it. And every single object vibrates at a particular frequency because it is energy. And you hold it. And you ask the question out loud or internally, does this bring me joy? And if it doesn't bring you joy, then you express gratitude for whatever it had to teach you and why it was in your life, and you let it go with confidence. And so that was the missing piece of the puzzle, and that it was to be honest with you, that was the one thing, not knowing that, that was why I was resisting going into business and doing this full time, because I have organized many closets and many homes over the years for my clients. They were not clients that hired me for organizing. There were other kinds of clients that, you know, there were some through my job as a nanny, and there were through my other jobs that'd be like, you're so good at this. I have this closet in my, whatever, in my room. Do you want to come and help me? And I'm like, yes, because that just was like, to me, that was fun and easy, and that was great. But one of my best friends said, you are so good at this, you should be doing this. And I always resisted it, because I always felt like I will go and organize their stuff. I will help them get decluttered and organized and all of that. Like, getting rid of unnecessary things was very much part of my process. But I said to her, you know what? I don't want to be a closet organizer. I don't want them to call me up in 6 months from now and say, hey, you know, my closet is blah, blah again, and can you please come help me? To me, if I don't do things with a foundation, I don't want to do them at all. And so reading this book, I realized, you know what? This was the missing piece of the puzzle for me. The criteria, and the only criteria, is that you only hold on things that bring you joy, and everything else, you just let it go. And what that happens is that when you're surrounding yourself with everything that brings you joy, then what happens is that then, because everything is energy, then you start to attract in your life only things that bring you joy, and start to attract in your life opportunities to get you to that place of joy and ease and fun in your life. And because this book, because this method was so much based on energy and on an energetic level, it was so important to Marie Kondo that people got the energetic aspect of decluttering. I said to myself, you know what? There are people in this world who are walking around and don't even know what joy is like. They've never felt joy in their life. So that's
there's so many of them,
right? And that's where the idea of combining theta healing with decluttering and the KonMari method was born, because I was like, she is helping people get, you know, KonMari. And KonMari, by the way, is used as a verb too. Like, I KonMari'd my apartment. But there are people who don't know what joy is. And I have this amazing, awesome tool, like theta healing, that I can actually go and work with people and actually give them downloads about what joy is, and work with them as to why they don't even want to know what joy is. Like, get to the bottom belief, get to the cause root of all of that. And so, yeah, so that's why I'm so passionate about combining the two, because I couldn't imagine. Like, I've talked to clients who have said to me, I'd love to do this with you, but you know what? I cannot let go of my stuff. My stuff is important to me. And to that client, I say, okay, you know what? Then we need to go and do the inner work first. We got to go do the theta healing first before we even step foot into your apartment.
Right. Wow, I love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I think it's so true. There are so many people who have never experienced joy.
Yeah.
Who don't even know where to start. And when you take the law as within, so without, if there's clutter inside, there's clutter outside. If there's clutter outside, there's clutter inside. So we really are a reflection. Our inner world really is a reflection of our outer world.
Yeah. And I can say from personal experience that I literally, being completely transparent, I have been resisting this idea of owning my own business and being an entrepreneur and living, fulfilling my purpose in this particular way for a really long time. Like I said, people have always said, you're so great at, you're an amazing theta healer and you're an amazing organizer, you should do something with them. And it was always like this resistance to it. And I'm like, no. And in January of 2016, I took 11 days I was inspired after reading the book. I read the book in the fall of 2015. And in 2016, when just like everybody else trying to get to their intention list and their, you know, their manifestation list for the new year and what they want to have in the new year and all of that, my intention was to take this book and really apply everything, everything, A to Z, and treat it like, and, you know, the first reaction of the people who know me was, really? You really need to do that? Like, have you seen your house? Like, what is there to organize? What is there to organize? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just intuitively, I need to do this. And I'm not kidding you, Jessica. I had about 5 bags of stuff that I let go, 5 huge garbage bags. And nobody believed me because my house looked organized, right? I'm doing the air quotes, looked organized. But, and because of that process, going through, I did it in 11 days. I live in a 1-bedroom apartment in New York City. I did it in 11 days. And because of going through that process, by March, I had signed up with a business strategist to start my own business. And I wouldn't have been able to do that. And I can say that because I resisted it for so many years, if I hadn't gone through the process of space healing, of healing my space through this process. Yeah. And so,
It's just so amazing, the transformations and what, you know, other people see on the outside, which is so different from what really is on the inside. So if people wanted to contact you or find you or work with you, how would they do that?
That's a great question. Right now, I don't have a virtual home, as in a website, and I am big. I'm passionate about homes and environment, as you guys can tell by now. I don't have that yet. I am working on that. So right now, the best way to contact me is by reaching out to me through email. And I can give that email out. It's yola.memeti@gmail.com. So it's Y-O-L-A dot my last name, which is M as in Mary, E as in elephant, H as in Henry, M as in Mary, E as in elephant, T as in Tom, I as in iPhone, @gmail.com. That would be the best way to contact me right now. And I am excited to help people with this, because I know it has transformed my life, and I wouldn't even have had not done the work that I have done on myself, but especially what I did in January of this year. It's like, I don't think our paths have ever crossed, and I am so glad, because I love that I know you. I love that I know you. And I've enjoyed working with you.
Thank you. I love to know you too. You're such a fabulous person. You're such a fabulous soul, which resonates more with me when I talk of you. If you're looking for me, you can reach me on Facebook in my group, Private Practice Mastermind, or on my page, Brain Healthy. So Yola, we have about 1 minute left. If you were to leave our listeners with one word of wisdom or one sentence of one piece of advice, what would it be?
I got chills just hearing you say that. So this is what's coming to me, and I go with what's coming to me in the moment. And I have a quote that I love by one of my favorite writers and teachers, Wayne Dyer. And that quote is, change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. And I just love that quote. When we shift our perspective, everything changes in our life. Everything changes. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. You have to start there, and then the rest follows.
Awesome. And now I just got chills. Amazing, amazing quote. I love it. Yola, thanks so much for joining me on our show today. It's been a pleasure having you here. We'd love to have you back.
Oh, I would love to come back. I have to be honest, this was my first radio show. I love the medium of radio. Radio, I love it more than anything. As much as I love to watch TV, I love radio. And it was, oh my gosh, it's going to go in my momentum box forever, for the rest of my life. It was an amazing experience. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. And we will see you next time on Brain Healthy.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Keep yourself and your wallet healthy with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. In addition to Plenty points, earn Wellness Plus points every time you shop. $1 spent on everyday items gets you 1 point, and get up to 25 points on every prescription you fill. When you've reached 1,000 Wellness Plus points, you'll get 20% off our regular prices for a year. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
Not to get too sentimental, but at Les Schwab Tires, we think there's nothing more beautiful than the changing of the seasons. Except, of course, the seasonal changing of the tires. So if the weather takes a turn and you find yourself in need of some all-season tires, well, you ought to know Les Schwab's having its biggest sale of the year. Head our way before the weather does, and we'll make sure you're good to go. Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing matters.